Oh.
You dig a trench about a foot wide,
mm-hmm.
and get across it, do your job, and flies, naturally, they didn't keep it closed good enough.
Right.
Flies got in. So they went to a situation, it's comical, you think about it, but take barrels and make you a toilet stool. Mm-hmm. And it was had lid on it and everything, keep it closed. And then that's one of the things they hired Koreans for.
Mm-hmm.
Clean those out and burn them out.
Yeah.
A couple of times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept the flies out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that got the dysentery under control. Because really there was no medication, I don't think.
No.
Even today.
No, I don't think so. Well, so what crew was in charge of that? I mean, just people in different units?
Well, I don't know. They always had, like digging the sled trenches, generally had some Koreans there,
okay.
you'd hire to dig them. And,
mm-hmm.
and of course, when you went to the bathroom there, you were supposed to kick dirt back over it, but
yeah.
most of them didn't.
Right.
And no, it just, down through the chain of command someplace, that was taken care of.
The Koreans, then, they did the laundry for you? Did they do the cooking for you?
Oh, no.
No.
No, we had our own cooks.
So you really didn't have, I guess what I'd say, Korean food?
No, no.
No. Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right.
The closest thing to Korean food I had over there was some whiskey I bought for my birthday.
Yeah.
And kerosene would have tasted better.
Well, at least you experienced that, I guess. Well, okay, any other interesting story?
Oh, I had another one on the sad side.
Okay.
A couple of kids drowned. They were from our company. I didn't know them. But we were, our compound was set up right next to a river, which we generally always did. And I didn't know we had these collapsible canoes.
Hmm.
They worked just like the old army bunk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had little canoes, two-man canoe. Fold out like that, and you have a little old canoe. Well, these two kids found one of those someplace.
Hmm.
And got out in this river. It's a pretty good river. But they didn't lock it so it wouldn't fold up. And they got out there. I didn't see it happen, but some other guys did. Said that just the two ends come up, and of course it started taking on water right quick. And it happened, it was in the middle of a whirlpool.
Oh.
And I got called, I don't know, it was just before, probably 7 o'clock in the evening, then the summertime. And somebody got me, I was right close by. There, you can see that whirlpool. Mm-hmm. That canoe stayed on top,
mm-hmm.
and then just spinning around. Well, I knew this one guy had been, they call him the Navy SEALs now. Then they didn't have SEALs, but he was that, he'd been in there. So, send somebody to grab him, and he stripped off and jumped in, and he got them both out. But we kept them alive. We pumped water out of them. I called down to Pusan and got a doctor, and he flew up there in a little old Piper Cub,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't save him.
Hmm.
And, you know, there were a couple of kids just, there was nothing to do.
Yeah.
Everything was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, to this day, know where that collapsible canoe came from.
Yeah.
And how they got it.
Well, it kids are ingenious.
Kids are kids.
Yeah.
And but I, at least I didn't have to fill out a death certificate on them because that officer, that doctor showed up.
Right.
And I've often wondered what he put on there, mm-hmm. but I imagine in the line of duty,
yeah.
it's the only thing he could have put.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there is this, and they were just probably 19, 20 years old at the very most.
Yeah, and just didn't think or know to lock
yeah.
it.
And
yeah.
But you know, you always had stuff like that going on that
mm-hmm.
stays in your mind.
Oh yeah.
And but that guy, now If you was walking down the street to pick out a swimmer, you wouldn't have picked out him. Mm-hmm. Real narrow in the shoulders, kind of had a pot butt or pot belly,
mm-hmm.
big wide hips.
Mm-hmm.
But he evidently could swim like a fish because mm-hmm. he went down in, and he said it was 18 to 20 feet deep. He knew it had to be at least that deep.
Yeah. And they were just caught down in there.
Caught down in there. Yeah, that whirlpool's holding them down. He said it was almost on the bottom.
Hmm.
But the water was clear and he could see.
Mm-hmm.
And he got them right out. But it was quite a, you know, he got them right out from the time he got there.
Right.
But, you know, it was.
And was he a member of the maintenance group? Or?
Oh, no, that guy was, he'd got into, I won't say architect, but not, but he'd help design bridges.
Oh, engineers?
Yeah.
Something like that? Okay.
Yeah, he was, whether it built a complete bridge or had to put in a section, why, he mm-hmm. was one of the, they helped to figure out what they needed to replace it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you call him a designing engineer or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the average person just wouldn't know what it takes to support the troops.
Right.
Maintenance, engineer, and all of that.
Yeah.
The supplies. And.
Yeah, you don't have anything if you don't have a supply line.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. In any war, you know, you've got to have supplies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's very, but most people don't think of all that, those logistics that go into a war.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh, one other little incident, getting way off. I remember when we were packing up out here at Camp Carson, had a huge old box in there, probably 8 feet wide and 12 feet long, and 4 feet deep, and they started filling that with toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Mm-hmm. That was the greatest thing they ever did.
because... The life you describe seems rather primitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What else surprised you, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. The British always surprise you.
Okay. Now, how would you have come in?
Oh, see, there was troops from every place over there.
Oh, okay. Because it was a police action,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
But the British, you know, you listen to them, they won every war they ever fought.
Yes.
Only time I had contact with them was over there is go down Pusan to pick up stuff. They'd be down there in the bars playing spoons. Have you ever seen spoons?
Uh-uh.
Oh, they'd get spoons in their fingers and whack them on their thighs. But then the Australians are completely different
mm-hmm.
type of guys. We had a fighter group that stayed with us. Well, didn't stay with us. We maintained a strip for them to land and take off on.
Mm-hmm.
And those Australians are really nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of fun with them. And
So you had really experiences with other nationalities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had. And, of course, we had Korean soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
With
the South,
South Korean soldiers we had contact with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they even lived in our same quarters.
Mm-hmm. Did you pick up any Korean language at all?
Nah, just no. Mama-san and baby-san and papa-san.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I never did. But it's surprising, most of them, it didn't take them long. They could say enough words to find out what they wanted to know or to tell you, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't take them long to get the English good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was probably missionaries and other thing over there.
Yeah.
And most of these foreign countries teach English in their schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, and they probably knew that if they could learn a little English, it would help them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But none of the guys that I know of, we never did try to learn any English and
mm-hmm.
point and holler.
Well, you've got story after story.
Oh, yeah, there's a million of them.
Any more you want to say?
Oh, we better quit, don't you think?
Well, it's up to you.
Yeah.
It is about 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's probably, I don't know, there's not much of the tape left, but I thought if you had one last story.
One last story. This first mate, in the Merchant Marine with when I was Fort Lewis or Fort Eustis, Virginia. He, like I told you, he came and got me. Mm-hmm. We went out fishing in his dad's old wooden boat. And we were out there fishing, and he was teaching me all this stuff. We were visiting about old times. And all of a sudden he hollered, and he said, "We've lost our prop." And sure enough, where the shaft comes up to that old engine, the pin that held the prop shaft into the U-joint on the back end of the engine, that pin wore out, fell out, and the prop slid down. We couldn't get a hold of that shaft to pull it back in there. So he had to jump overboard and push that back up in there, and I got a hold of it, hooked it up. We stuck a spike nail that was in there.
And made it back.
We made her back. But I'm glad that he could swim, because I couldn't swim.
But still, you love the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, you're only a mile from land.
Right.
Might be straight down. But
if you weren't, didn't know how to swim, that'd be a far, that'd be a long way. Yeah. Well, you know, growing up in western Kansas, we didn't learn how to swim.
No.
We didn't have any water.
No.
You had creek.
Had creek, but when it's running, it's full of trash and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And you didn't have enough money to go to Dodge and go swimming.
That's true. Well, and there were chores to do.
Yeah.
Harvest and things like that. All right, I'm going to turn this off.